Greetings, boys and girls. Welcome to another spooky episode here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about this ghoulish episode of Z Nation, Season 3, Episode 7. Welcome to Murphytown. We have not one, not two, but three special guests. Stay tuned, kiddies.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Happy Halloween, everybody! It is so good to be back. How are we all doing tonight?
Good.
Excellent.
I'm on my fifth costume of the weekend. I'm having a really hard time concentrating when Rochelle's dead eyes are staring at me. For those of you listening on iTunes, you may want to flip it over to YouTube real quick to check out her amazing makeup work, guys. Halloween, she went all out. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, she did.
Thanks.
That's about it. Hello, Z Nation fans. Welcome to another episode of the Z Nation After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 3, Episode 7. Welcome to Murphytown. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. I am dressed as Julie from Zombies Ate My Neighbors, for those of you who grew up in the 90s like I did. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T.
Michelle Cullen.
Hello, everyone. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Michelle _ Cullen.
She's a little dead.
Just a little bit. And the first of our three special guests, the writer and director of this episode tonight, Jody Binstock.
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 And
sorry.
That's how you can find me on Twitter at JodiBinstock.
I apologize. I can't read the tiny little print on my iPhone. I apologize.
You attempted it. I wouldn't even try.
I tried. And our other special guest, Josh Foster, who is the head of the effects department.
Yes. Good evening. Happy Halloween.
And where can people find you?
Oh, well, do I have a Twitter handle?
He does.
I'm bad at the
at
social
Mr.
media.
At Mr. Practical Effects.
So Mr. Practical Effects.
And the head of the makeup department, Corinne Foster.
Hi, guys. Happy Halloween. You can find me on Twitter at Mrs. Makeup FX. So MRS.
So we have been spoiled.
For you.
Oh, yeah. I'm also Megan. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag on Twitter, ABTVZNation. And Katie's got her eye on the live chat. If you guys have some interesting questions for our guest, feel free, you might just get a shout-out. Anywho, I feel like we are definitely spoiled tonight having all three of you with us. Thank you so much for spending your Halloween with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah,
it's a pleasure to be here. It was a really fun episode, and I'm so glad that Corinne and Josh came because they are the backbone of the show. This show would not be this show without the makeup team.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's the truth.
Absolutely. And we've said it time and time again. We cannot sing the praises of your guys' work enough. It has been phenomenal seeing not only what you guys do on a shoestring budget, but also the versatility of everything that's asked of you from this show. So it's an absolute pleasure.
Thanks.
I kind of want to ask you about Murphy's makeup, just the evolution through three seasons, and we could probably talk the whole show about that.
It's true.
I could, and Murphy is my favorite character because of his makeup, and really the evolution of his makeup as much as no one, like you have the obvious things that you'll see when his makeup changes, but actually every episode of the show, his makeup's been different. From season one till now, I've changed it every single episode, whether it just be like one slight color or if he's sick, I've maybe gaunted him out a little bit more, done things to change him, and where he's going now and what you really get to see in this last episode is that he's transitioning. Something's happening, right? He's taking these serums and it's changing him. And so trying to come up with a way to figure out how to get Murphy from blue to white, because it's not a normal skin tone still. It's like a translucent white color. So figuring out how to do that was an interesting task, and so I chose to pattern him off of vitiligo. It's really neat. like skin pattern disease. It's not a disease at all, but it's just a pigmentation loss that some people will get. And so I looked at different people's patterns, and we had life cast of Keith done during season 2, I believe, and I had a vacuform piece made of his face and hand cut out stencils to make it so I could match his makeup every day. But there wow. were 6 stencils, I think, in total for his face. And wow.
And it was, I think it was the most dramatic in this episode. It, yeah. it continues to change, yeah. which I won't tell you what happens, but
yeah.
But this was the most dramatic change, I think.
Yeah,
this was the biggest jump, because we haven't seen Murphy for an episode. We saw that he was changing when he injected himself. He saw that he had a weird spot.
And he looked a little bit on his neck in episode 4, I believe it was, or 5.
Yeah, and so we didn't see him, and all of a sudden now he's really different. And it was so much fun to create that and find how to make that look cool.
Is it easier to do the current makeup, or was it easier to do it when he was just all blue?
Jody won't like this answer as my producer.
It's true. I'm a producer. I'm the producer of the whole thing. I just directed this one, but yeah, she's right.
His blue, well, his season 1 makeup would be the easiest.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Season 2, his blue was 2 hours, basically, and having to do blue and white put him at 2.5 hours every day.
Which was ironic because what we set out to do was get him out of the makeup chair earlier. So that was part of, in the writer's room, that was part of what we discussed was how can we change him back to white, you know? And that was a big fail.
And I said, cool. I was like, if I'm going to do this, there's a chance in the transition it's actually going to take longer because I'll have to do both. And they just got attached to the transition and we kept it.
It's true. So season 4. Because it looks fantastic. It looks
season really 4, cool. He's going to be white and it'll be fine.
Who knows?
Super pale. Yeah. Oh, God.
He might turn pink.
Who knows?
He can be a purple people eater.
No comment.
I do worry, though, because the last time he had a really big transition, he shed an entire
he
layer
molted of skin.
Yes, he molted.
Like a snake.
His snake skin.
It was super gross.
That's right. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, yeah, you probably definitely remember it.
Yeah, it was fun. We had to come up with a way to make a snakeskin type of material.
Did you use glue like we did in school?
No.
You just put it on peel, yeah.
All right. Kinds of scientific words. And the mold. Methicellulose. If that.
That's right. Glue.
Is it?
No, I'm kidding. No,
it's a food thickening agent.
Yeah.
But
it's funny, it's what we make our blood out of, and I noticed, you know, we've been doing our blood, we've been working on it for a long time, but when it dries, it forms a skin, and I always wanted to do something with that in the effects world, and so when they brought up the Murphy shedding thing, I'm like, dude, I wonder if this will work, so I just made up a batch that didn't have any color in it, so it's just clear when you make it, and we just painted it in a mold and let it dry and just kept adding later
so
layers.
It was in a human body mold.
Yeah,
so that way, when you pulled it out, it was actually a face.
I think there was a full body, but what the audience sees is 10K picking up the face.
That was such a great moment.
Right?
Yeah. It was incredible.
And those opportunities to come up with creative and new ways that you're not used to make something is what also makes the show a lot of fun. And I feel like I've progressed so much just trying to be creative and come up with things that we can do that I haven't seen done before.
Well, and the things that we throw at you, you know, in this script, for example, we decided that Murphy was going to eat, you know, the brain thing, that the man slices open the guy's head. Well, okay, Josh. So
yeah, walk us through that. Yeah.
We need a head. We need a model of the poor bastard.
Well, I think what was particularly cute about this episode is Jody would come up to me like weeks in advance because she's already writing the script and be like, all right, Josh, I want to talk to you. There's going to be these hands, all right? There's lots of hands because this is like where the red hands are coming in. And so she would just come up to me and kind of just put it in my head to get
ready. That's the advantage
for
it. Of being the producer.
Yeah. And so it was cool because it gives me time to think about the best way to achieve it for the time we have. But yeah, she came up with, you know, poor bastard gets his head cut off.
I think the most
cut
challenging
open.
Piece
open, yeah.
of that is we didn't have a live cast of the actor. We happened to have a head that pseudo-matched him.
Yeah.
It was, you know,
are you guys familiar with Jeremy Lindholm?
He's the guy that played Poor Bastard.
Yeah.
Right. You've seen him as a zombie about so many times.
you could definitely find him. But so we had to have a head. He's got very particular hair, so we had to come up with a way to like be able to match that. And most importantly, and what was difficult, was that when the head got sliced open, if he sliced clean through, you wouldn't actually see the top of the brain. You would see the cross-section of the brain. And she really wanted to see the top of the brain, so it was like, okay, well, then he's kind of going to have to go
pry it off. And the way that we shot it with, you know, where the camera is placed so that you don't see that it's not exactly his face.
Yeah. Actually the face of our stunt coordinator. I don't know. He was stunt coordinator for one or two of the episodes, and then
Keith Cox. It's Keith Cox's face, but it worked great. So we did half of it live action, you know, where Jeremy acted as Joget, as the man smacked him in the back of the head, and then smacked him again, and then lowered him down. And it's at that point that we went to the dummy. No offense, Keith Cox.
And I think there's something to be said, too, because as much as we have time, we have so much time to get everything done, and there's a little bit of time for gags and practical effects. But, you know, then our visual effects supervisor, Jason McKee, comes in, and I think he really helped with that gag by adding the blood coming out of the sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Otherwise, it's just a static dummy sitting there, you know, and those elements that he adds just help that much more. So it's not just me, it's not just her, it's all of us as a team. Bring that to come together.
Yeah, it's the visuals, it's the sound, it's the camera movement. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All of these elements coming together is what make it a seamless scene of a guy getting his brains chopped out.
And then the noise.
And
it's pulled dying. Out.
Right?
And it's still connected.
And that was a conversation I had with the visual effects supervisor. He wanted to not do one shot that I had on my wish list. And I said, okay, I'll switch you out if you'll give me more brainstem.
Yeah.
Only on this show do you have that conversation.
Wow.
I'll print out that visual effects if you give me more brainstem as he's pulling it out. He said, sold. And then the sound team, of course, did the...
I was going to say, I was just talking to a friend of mine who works doing a lot of Foley stuff, and she was talking about like using cantaloupes and watermelon, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's gross.
It really does... It gets the job done, that's for sure.
Man.
So, talking about this episode, does that happen a lot when you're like, you have to make those kind of compromises of like, this visual effects is out the window?
Oh, on this show, particularly.
Absolutely. All the time.
Yeah, every day. Like, you know, as the producer and as a director, I feel it on both sides. As a producer, you know, we go to the makeup team, for example, or the costume team, and you get so many of everything. You get, okay, you get 20 zombies, you know, a day. Use them a day.
Yeah, that's our max.
That's about how much they can get, you know, or you're sitting there waiting. And as a director, it's not worth it. So you've got to compromise this or that, because minutes not shooting are minutes that you just can't do without, you know. Yeah.
Especially if you're doing 5 days an episode.
Yeah. 5 to 6. Right. It depends on the but it's never more than that.
Yeah. They write really big. And we all have to go into the production meetings and look at the big and go, okay, so you're asking for 10 things, I can only give you 3. Which ones do you want?
Right. Which gags do you want? So mine was the guy's cutting his head. It was the hand. What was the third one?
There was lots of brains being made, lots of different hands.
Yeah.
It was the red hand zombies. You wanted the fake arms.
The fake arms of the red hand.
They were
right.
The two zombies at the beginning that are chained up have
And the
full
armless
fake
made the
arms.
Arm rigs.
Right.
Cool. Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
It's Joey's episode. We got to go all out.
Well, I get every now and then I get to pull a couple strings, you know.
So, yeah, we were talking a little bit offline about this episode. This episode is kind of your baby because you wrote, directed, and produced it.
It is true.
How does it feel like knowing that, like, when people are getting ready to live tweet it on Friday night right before it airs? How does that feel?
It was fantastic. It was so exciting. I've directed for years and I've written a little bit, but this is the first time that I've been able to direct something that I wrote, which, and it was sublime. It was sublime because you know the show so well from beginning to end. You know every beat. You know every moment what it's supposed to look like because you created it in your brain first. So it was a pleasure, a real pleasure. And that's thanks to Carl Schaefer, our showrunner, who's just the greatest. You've had him on, I think.
Oh, yeah. He's a lovely human being.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
He scares me sometimes.
I know, right?
So for this episode, we were talking a lot about it with the brain and the hand in particular. But the main focus for this episode is Murphy kind of going toe-to-toe a little bit with the man. Because he suspects that something is up for the majority of the episode, but can't really act on it because he doesn't have the evidence to. So it's really interesting seeing them kind of walk back and forth. How do you feel bringing back the man into this episode?
Well, he's such a fascinating villain, you know, because he's smart, he's conniving, he's built like a brick shit house. You know, he's the guy you don't want to go up against. And that was an interesting thing that we had to work on between Murphy and the man because, you know, that bit where they're handing the knife back and forth, at any moment, you know, either one of them could have killed the other. And so it was a real psychological thing. And Murphy bet on his blends. He bet on his blood. And once he was convinced that the man had, but he still wasn't convinced because he asks Will, if you remember, in the next moment, he said he took the vaccine, right? Yeah, he threw up all over the place, but he didn't.
That was just, I love the whole bit with the arm. And I realize that this entire episode is the whole bit with the arm. But yeah. I just love starting off with the chase scene with him chasing someone down, ripping their arm off, and then using it as his own.
Can we, like, can yes, we also, please? Can we also talk about the fact that he dodged a bullet?
Literally right. Dodged a Matrix moment. Oh my God.
He's pretty superhuman.
He's kind of unstoppable.
The man. Yeah.
I'm starting to think he's about as human as Murphy is at this point.
Well, it's true. And who knows what that means?
I have to point this out. We have a Psychofrucht in the chat. I think that's how you pronounce it. Who says it's their favorite episode yet, and they are tuning in from Germany at 3:34 in the morning.
Oh right on.
Wow. Thank you.
Dankeschön.
Chat's been talking about how badly they want to see all 10 effects in the episode, and they don't know how you choose.
It's true. It's not easy. Yeah. It's not easy.
And Robrox has played Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I like you. Thank you for getting
it. You get the joke.
You do. There's a reason there's a squirt gun on the table in addition to the chainsaw.
Yep.
I just joke. I lost it. Yeah, I don't know. It,
they have props and we just have...
We don't. But you have sores.
We have our panache.
They have props, but we have sores.
We have sores.
I do want to compliment you on your fantastic job. Again, for those of you listening, put it over, and Michelle's hand looks absolutely fantastic.
I got a boo-boo.
It looks like a zombie bit you right there. And nice. Yeah, it looks like you're having a rough time with it.
Careful, I might have to pike you.
That's understandable.
So, like, again, kind of going back to this, Murphy and the man... bringing in the man, he's so unsettling anytime he comes on screen. I want to know, like, when it came to designing his look, because he's not dressed like your typical villain either, and, like, with his hair and everything like that. So when designing his look...
His lack thereof hair.
Yeah.
Joe is real. It's real. He has alopecia. Yeah.
He has alopecia, and that's what he looks like. So there actually was, for us... He was the simplest person. He's about 5 minutes in the makeup chair, and he's out the door. Unless there was something going on with him.
Unless he had a gear in his chest.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Really
so
cool.
So I think really it was Carl's vision, and with Ashley's design as far as his wardrobe was concerned. Ashley Russell is our costume designer, and she's amazing.
She's extraordinary.
Yeah, she's so good.
And so I think really it was the flip-flops, I think, were Carl and
the flip-flops
Daniel.
Were, yeah, and they had to go pretty soon after. for the producer was like, you guys, this is a bad idea. He's going to get injured. This is a bad idea.
Closed toe shoes on set, guys.
Closed toe shoes. But that was actually, that was a battle between Carl and I in the early script because I wanted him in Italian fancy, you know, $300 shoes. And Carl said no. So he won. He's the showrunner. He wins.
Although I'm sure he would kill it in fancy Italian loafers. But yeah, that's interesting to hear that like very little was required. Although I have a little bit of a theory, and maybe it's too early to bring this up. And obviously we don't want any spoilers, but I have a theory and I want your guys' thoughts on this theory.
Oh.
I think he actually, the man, part of what makes him so seemingly indestructible is I think he might have that type of disorder where you can't actually feel pain. So, like, that's how he's able to chew through his hand, you know, to the point where he chomps it off. That's how he can get hit in the chest and the sternum with this giant sprocket and, you know, barely flinch. What do you guys think? Is that too far-fetched?
Oh, I think Zona's already experimented on him.
That could be it, too.
That's where I was going. Yeah. You went a very much more straightforward route for the apocalypse.
Human, natural, and we were like, nah, mad science.
Superhuman soldier?
I won't reveal.
Ubermensch.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
I think he's a Terminator.
That could be it. He might have come back and set back by Skynet to destroy the Murphy.
Exactly.
Just get the scene of him kneeling and then standing up slowly.
Crushing a skull in his flip-flops.
Crushing a zombie in his flip-flops.
I can see him doing that. That would be fantastic.
But this is the first time that you've seen Murphy get that violent.
Yeah. He has other people to do that for him.
I mean, we've seen his strength before in season one, was it, that with those crazy ass zombies, remember that? They weren't zombies, they were experiments.
Oh yeah, remember? But he ran,
yeah. So this is the first time, but he's come into his power now. That's what's so thrilling about watching Murphy in Murphytown is that he's come into his own, that he not only knows that he is bringing the cure to people, but he knows that he has to rise to be. I mean, you see him in episode 5 reading The Prince.
Yes!
You know, which is a fascinating throwback to, you know, what is right and wrong. You know, to be a prince, if you've ever read that book, it's sometimes you got to make the hard choices. And they're not always your favorite choices. So,
is it better to be feared or loved? Does Murphy think he can be both?
I want people to fear how much they love me.
So they have to love him.
They have to love him.
That's right.
I don't know. I love watching what Keith has done with Murphy.
Yeah. Oh, he is such a brilliant actor.
What it's like, just seeing the transition of all the ways that he's had to play Murphy. Like, Murphy has been every type of
person. He was a worm in the beginning.
He was a scaredy cat. Then he was kind of just a snarky smartass.
Right.
And now he's kind of like taken on his own and been like, no, I am in charge.
Right, I'm the king.
It's so funny.
I am the savior.
I will become the god of this new world.
Right.
Yeah. You're welcome.
He's just like, what in the name of God? Oh, what am I thinking? What in the name of me? am I going to do?
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's been that might be my favorite Murphy line this season.
It's a good one.
Just like that entire monologue with him and Murch's dead body just going.
It's the to be or not to be monologue.
Yeah, it kind of is. It was very Shakespearean, that whole thing. And you guys, do you guys feel like every season you have to find new ways to sort of step it up? Because the thing, and we, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but one of the things we love about this show is the variety of zombies that we have.
Where do you see episode 12?
I think it's popcorn been really fun and challenging to know, like, to come up with new ways to make zombies look cool, because we are really limited in the time that we're given, in the prep that we have to get these things done. Usually we have 5 days to prep and create whatever it is for the next episode.
But the first two are
spent talking about what they want from us. So really, we have about 3 days to completely create anything that's asked of us. So even if you go back a couple episodes to the wolf zombies, Josh literally had hours to create an entire sculpture to mold it and run it and do the whole thing to get it on. So we have to do things like that all the time where when we do that and then it turns out really great, it's like, oh, wow. Because in most circumstances, and I can tell you that the entire production team that I work with will tell you I always say no.
It's true.
If they want a yes, they come to me.
Yeah. It's true. So it's constantly a thing where they try to get to Josh first. And then they're like, we want this really big thing. And he's like, oh, that sounds so cool. I really want to come up with a way to do that. Yeah, we'll do it. And then they tell me, and I'm like, come on, I've
Josh,
got two
no.
days.
You're
like,
just
you're
no.
crazy.
So I do have a question. What's the craziest thing you've been able to pull off where you're watching it, and in the back of your head, you're like, I can't believe that worked.
Oh, that's a rough one. I don't know. I can tell you we haven't seen it yet.
I would venture a guess that it would be the plant zombies, but I don't know. That might be
those we had a lot of time for. Ah. That was something that we actually we're involved in. We'll go into the writer's room when they're first starting, and they'll kind of give
us
some ideas of what they're thinking about. And when they're really big, it's like, okay, is this something you really want me to focus on? Like, we're gonna focus on that. So even the movie, we had the fungus zombies. We did have a good amount of time to get the fungus zombies ready because those were full head pieces and all done up. So we had a good amount of time with those guys. But it's once the show's started,
when it's full tilt boogie and there's no time to prep, that's when it kills them.
Yeah.
But
so have you ever had, for the lack of a better term, a happy accident? Like something went wrong, but it turned out really well? Like the mechanical shark in Jaws not functioning most of the time, and then it made the movie even scarier. Something like that.
I'm sure. I'm trying to think.
These are good questions.
These are great questions.
It's
you're jogging
to come
my memory
up with
for 3 years.
Off the top of my brain.
Well, and if we'd come up with them in advance, we would have sent them to you in advance.
No, I know.
Yeah, right. That's
we
did.
Well, and again, your guys' production schedule is so busy. I imagine that a lot of the episodes just kind of run together when you look back
Absolutely.
On it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, any given day for us, my day literally consists of 6 hours of makeup. We go to lunch. I then have about an hour of touch-ups and, like, getting people through after lunch. And then I go into meetings. And that's my everyday. And so in between that, then having to also worry about the continuity of the characters on set, what effects are actually happening on set, making sure that my entire crew, who I just have to say, we had a great crew this year. We had the biggest team that they've allowed us to have, which was fantastic.
And a spoozy trailer and...
We did have a nice trailer. It was fantastic. Thank you very much.
it's challenging on and for the costume department too. You know, they've got to dress all these people.
Oh, yeah.
And the production designers.
We have to coordinate all of it
And they work very closely together, Ashley and Corinne, to figure out, you know.
There's a lot of really fun zombies coming up in one of the next episodes.
Yeah, there is. It's actually, I think, episode 11 from what they call it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that is
the movie
probably one of Ashley and my favorite episodes. We created all these really fun zombies. One of them has a hidden secret on it that maybe I'll tweet about.
Ooh. That'd be interesting.
But,
right.
Yeah, so I want to hear more about things that you guys liked about...
About this episode in
particular?
Yeah,
about the group being back together again and all that.
I wanted to bring them
back. Red, oh, go ahead.
I want to talk about the red hand a little bit.
We'll get there, but I just want to say that it breaks my heart having this group back together for a total of 10 minutes before they get broken up again. I'm very upset.
But this time the breakup was intentional.
We found 10K. Bye!
Right?
But this isn't a world of cell phones. I mean, now that we have Citizen Z back in motion, we might be able to keep in contact with each other. But there's a very good chance that we're going to split the party. We may never see you again. It's the Jungle Cruise thing. Wave goodbye to all the pretty people on the dock. You'll never see them again.
Again, especially in a world that it shows time and again, you guys aren't afraid to kill main characters.
Yeah. Yep.
I will
never be over episode 6.
With this, though, at least they're splitting up knowing that the ultimate destination is Spokane.
Like,
whether
yes.
or not everyone will be alive when they get there is a different thing
That's
entirely.
Right. That's
but
true.
They know the
They know
end.
Where to meet back.
Yeah,
exactly.
Meet you at Magic Mountain.
And it also helps to have, like, a definitive objective, too. We're splitting up, but each group has a very specific test, as opposed to previously, like, when the group has been split up and everyone's just kind of wandering aimlessly. Yeah, Warren, no matter what group she's in, will be going towards California to get Murphy there, but, like, you know, Mac and Addie are, like, back when they were off on their own. It's like, do we try to get back with the group? Do we do our own thing? We don't know. So here we have Doc
Set
and
goals.
Yeah, here we have
Set
Doc
goals.
And Addie, you know, going to retrieve Lucy, and we have the rest of the group going to try to stop Murphy at any and all cost, and then 10K just disappears. You know, he runs off when he's discovered.
Well, it's he true. Starts hearing the voices, and I think that's Murphy going, that's his influence.
That's right.
Yeah. And so he
exactly
reaches the edge
is.
Of it and
Reach.
Goes.
Speaking of makeup,
it's like radio static.
I think one of the most heartbreaking things is seeing 10K's deterioration.
Mm-hmm. I know. It breaks my heart, too. I love him. He's just the cutest, and I get that
Isn't
every
he?
Girl loves him. I understand he's the most photogenic human on the planet.
It's true.
And he's he's so great in all directions, and so that was a really hard choice. The only thing I was able to convince Carl of was not putting the bite on his face.
Yeah.
That was something where it was like, okay, look, we're already going to ruin this poor kid's face. Please don't make it that much worse. Like, let's put it somewhere else.
Back of the neck, yeah.
They made it a great story point to not be obvious, and so that way 10K didn't even know he was bit by Murphy, and no one really knew, and it's been a really fun adventure to follow.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, his makeup is definitely, he got to show that he's a blend, and I think the Insane Asylum episode is when he looked like my favorite, because if you didn't know.
That was so funny.
And this is
fun
actually
fact.
A little fun fact for everyone. I will have our hairstylist. So my key hairstylist, her name is Cameron Fisher. Cameron Norbert.
She's a genius.
She's married.
She's a genius.
She's a wonderful.
She's a genius.
She makes the wigs. She does all these things. And if without her, it would not be as great as it is. So 10K's hair is very sacred to me. It's as silly as it is and as very stylized as it is for the apocalypse, it's who his character is. So what Cameron and I will do, just for fun, is depending on what 10K's emotions are, his hair will change.
Oh my God,
so
he's a Miyazaki 10K, character.
It's been forever, though. I've done it for the past 2 seasons. So if 10K is sad, his spikes will be kind of droopy. If 10K is just normal 10K, he'll have normal 10K hair. In the crazy episode,
and
they
if he's
were
attracted to red...
Super Saiyan.
But yeah, so we'll change the way his spikes lay depending on what's going on with him for the episode.
That's fantastic.
He's
I'm gonna
a
watch
Miyazaki
for that.
Character. Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm gonna watch for that for the
it
rest of the
like
series.
It looks like anime hair I had to.
Yay! So you touched on it. We get another mention of the Red Hand, and we actually get to see them going around and murdering more people. And now here's the question I want to pose to the table, and we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. Do they, and they label these people as car thieves as well. Now, are the Red Hand actually avenging people who have wronged them and taken their property, or does the Red Hand just perceive all of these things as this belongs to us, and then just they go about killing these people to get those things.
Well, they decided that a scorpion's identity belonged to them. Yeah. Feel like yep. They're the kind of people that are like, everything is ours, and if we immediate law of dibs, if we see it, it's ours. Oh no,
I think that they are a bit of a vigilante group. That's that they have a sense of right and wrong. We don't know what it is yet, but they are following their own moral compass. Even in this blight of the apocalypse, there is somebody that is out there trying to make some kind of law and order, and you're either going to do it my way or
the question y'all. Is where on the lawful spectrum do they lie, because we've got maybe good, neutral don't. And evil, and we don't know.
Maybe they're evil. Yeah, it's hard to know.
We don't know.
It's pretty violent stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely believe in corporal punishment, that's for sure. Michelle, thoughts?
I don't have enough information to form a solid opinion on either way. Like, to be honest, I don't think there's enough to go off.
No, it's 100% speculation because we know next to nothing about them. We just know that they commit these violent acts, that they quote-unquote punish people who have wronged them, and that they are supposedly led by somebody calling themselves El Scorpion.
And there's a drumbeat that happens.
And they like the red hands.
Actually, they did show you in the past episode that it was not them that was stolen from, but it was other people that were stolen from. So they were sticking up for
someone else.
Again, this is the testimony of one person who was about to die, so I don't necessarily know if we could trust her.
Good point.
But that is the information. That is the information that's been presented to us. So we really don't know. And again, something we kind of speculated with it with Dr. Murch when she died and didn't come back as a Z. But we see that another of Murphy's followers gets killed and doesn't come back. And this is the first time we get confirmation that that is 100% because...
So when a blend die, he doesn't turn, as Warren says.
That's not the first time we get that confirmation. We got that confirmation in season one.
Did we?
Yeah, during Sketchy and Skeezy's episode.
Oh, yeah, the guy that had the tooth in him.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right.
What?
That's true.
And also...
Good memory. Well done. Dang, girl.
Also, Sandra.
And yeah. That's true. But didn't she get, like, stabbed in the head?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Debatable, so. I guess. But
a lot of the mythology happens in this episode. That's what I think a lot of the fans have responded to is that they got to learn some story. So when the blends die, they don't turn. Yeah, and what did 10K said? And they even fought. Yeah, and zombies aren't afraid of you anymore either.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
So. Zombies don't go after the blends. And because they also say it when they ask about crossing through the moat.
Right.
Yeah.
Because when you look at that objectively, you're like, those are two good things.
Yeah.
I will not turn when I die.
This is what I
love. No one's going to mention mind control.
This is what I love about this show is that the moral questions that are posed are huge. They're, for a crazy little zombie show, who is right and who is wrong? Who is good and who is evil? Is Murphy evil? He's bringing no fear. That's pretty darn good. That's a great thing.
That is a luxury.
And you really make those distinctions.
Somebody asked Wesson, is there side effects? And it's just like, yeah, but it's worth it.
Next question.
No one's going to talk about mind control.
That's right.
Because it's worth it.
And it's been 4 years of terror.
Yeah.
They
got to eat steak again.
Yeah.
That's a lot to make.
Could you imagine going 4 years without steak?
No.
And then having it be juxtaposed with the trash lid frying pan cricket scene. Such good juxtaposition. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Which actually, it wasn't until they were eating the crickets where I realized there's like, we don't get a ton of like sit down for a nice meal scenes in this show because for one, it's constant go, 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 go. And two, because there's not much food to go around.
You know when we got one? The cannibal episode. I will forever go back to the cannibal episode. Just
nope. But why?
We had the Liberty Bell rolling down the street, and then we
that
had
was my daughter that got
locker.
Nailed by the Liberty Bell.
Oh my god!
That's a good example of your question where I felt like a gag didn't really work was when they were slicing the skin off. I was never 100% confident on that.
Really?
Yeah. Looked great.
That looked awesome.
That I was doing this.
That was
so
one
you
of
got
the things
me.
We actually, I think both of us hated the most. Like, the minute it walked out, I was just like, oh, it's terrible. Oh, my God, please don't use it. I think I begged Luis, who was the director of that one, not to shoot it. I was like, please don't.
Oh, it came out so great.
And it looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely left all of us going, ooh.
Yeah, that whole episode was just like,
pretty
I am
gnarly.
Severely uncomfortable, but this is amazing.
This show's a comedy, right?
I know, right?
Maybe. But yeah, so I, like, to get back a little bit, I think we were touching on it with 10K, but I think probably one of the most heartbreaking things is kind of the carryover that we get from Doc's side of things, and just the heartbreak of Doc being torn whether or not, like, to tell Warren and betray 10K's trust.
Yeah.
It was really upsetting.
Trust me, I shouldn't, but I do.
Chad was theorizing that he did because of Warren's reaction.
This might be a silly question, but why is 10K so scared to tell Warren?
Well, he didn't want them to think that he was like Cassandra.
Yeah.
That he was Murphy's bitch.
That's right, he said that.
Yeah. He kind of is.
He is, but he doesn't want...
Katie,
he's just trying to help.
And try and make it good for you.
God.
Yeah, but it's better storytelling, you know.
It is.
Yeah.
It makes it way more tense.
Right. And she even says it at the end, you know, when he grabs the injector, she says, let me help you!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too late. He ran.
I mean, if I were Warren, like, I thought 10K was dead. I found out Doc found him at a mental institution. I would be a little concerned about him, too, and just kind of infer that something was off. And, you know, the whole
situation.
Well, and in the script, it wasn't that clear. And Kalita came to me and said, WTF, Jody. You know, she said, like, I'm not going to notice
this. He looks like death.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to notice this, so I've got to play it different. And I said, I totally agree. Let's do it.
That was a great suggestion on her part. Because, it is really ambiguous. You can kind of tell that she's like, something's not right here, but she's not going to out and out say it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, it's definitely that disappointed mom conversation. So, sweeties, there anything you want to tell me?
Anything at all? No, Mom.
No?
Exactly.
Okay, then. Okay. So, we've touched on the group. We've touched on Murphy and the man. Let's talk a little bit about Citizen K.
Kaya.
Citizen.
Kaya.
Citizen Kaya.
I think I created a ship name in my brain just
You
now.
Just did.
I'm pretty sure that's like the extant ship name. I'm pretty sure that's already in existence.
Whatever. I'm appropriating it.
Dear Internet, adopt it.
Someone actually has that Twitter handle, Citizen Gay.
Nice.
But that's where it came from. I think they tweet us.
Yeah. So Kaya is the newest addition. You know, with, of course, Nana and Uncle Kasuke.
They're so fantastic.
They are great.
I love the comedy they bring.
Yeah.
Thank you for the satellite dad joke.
You're
oh my
so
God.
Welcome. I
Thank
wanted
you.
Daddy jokes in this episode because we all have those, you know.
I'm so happy.
This is
she hates
You said
puns.
The best thing.
She hates them. And I'm just like.
Like dad jokes. All the way.
Well, they're so stupid. You know? They're so stupid.
They do have
great.
A certain charm to them.
Yeah.
But we get like kind of an official romantic development.
That's right.
Here.
Yeah, we do. That's right.
There's
a little kissy face going on.
Yeah. And that rap.
Yeah, yes. And you were telling us that you wrote this rap
yes,
too.
Yes, ma'am. Yo, 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 yo. And you know it, though.
Now, was that what was used in the casting? You were like, when we cast Kaya,
no,
she
was,
has to be able to rap.
No, that was a brainchild that I had, and I asked Carl, can I make her rap? I've been obsessed with Hamilton.
Yes!
And so, you know, it's in my brain all the time, and I thought, what a great character thing. What if she, like, loves to rap? And what if she's a badass at it? You know, she can really do it. So it was really fun. And interestingly, when they tweeted out the one with the lyrics on it, for some reason, Sci-Fi changed one of the lyrics.
Oh.
Which, because the lyric is, we don't want to be sycophants doing your bidding. That's not life, man. That's not living. And I don't know if they don't understand the word sycophants, but they changed it to, we're sick of you doing your bidding.
Huh.
So, just so you know, it was a better lyric than that originally.
Sycophant means suck up, guys.
Right.
It's not a four-letter word. It's fine.
And that's what they are. That's what Murphy's blends are. And that's what Warren is saying all throughout the episode. It's like, you know, when Doc says, maybe Murphy's onto something. And Warren says, really? You want to be that? You want to be, basically, you want to be someone's bitch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's like, even... You could argue that Murphy is trying to do good, but I'm sure it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that everyone's kissing his ass 24/7.
He's creating his own little posse of yes men.
Which, oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, that was clearly demonstrated by the bad joke with the laughter. I forget what the line was.
That was horrifying.
But just the head back and just forced laugh.
Do you guys think he misses... having somebody to put him in his place?
Well,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think he misses his game.
He misses Warren, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why he never bit Warren. He could have bit her, you know, back in the day.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he said, no, I don't. With the whole Kurian thing, you know, episode 13 of last season, he could have done that. And he said, no, I like you the way you are.
I like you just the way you are.
Yeah.
Aww.
Is Kurian going to come back up?
We'll see.
Listen, he didn't get killed.
He was still ahead.
It's my head in a box.
He's ahead of the game.
Hey.
You really stuck your neck out for that one, didn't you?
Ba-dum-bum!
Very good. I have found my people!
I will say, I'm a Reanimator fan, so I appreciate a good severed head, like, effect. So, well done there. And
hats off to you.
Hey. It would be...
It just doesn't end.
Absolutely.
Of course not.
I think it's really fun hearing everything you guys are excited about because we know the rest of the season, and I can't wait for you guys to see it.
And you're just like,
we should have given you popcorn before you came in studio. Just like popcorn.gif, sure.
I also just want to give a shout out to the Murphy Mobile because he made his minions take the time to paint that, and then he recorded it somehow. Like,
right?
You only see it go by, but you're like, no, a lot of work went into
it. Yes, thank you.
And then, let me shout out, please, to Vince DeFelice and the entire art department, Colin and AJ and everybody. Aaron,
you guys are awesome.
That was a real painting.
Yeah. Now, is that a repaint of the dentist truck?
No.
Oh, it's a whole new truck.
It's a new truck.
Which, by the way,
we're on a low budget, but they got a new truck.
Okay, then.
Okay. Yeah, and our picture car guys, Jason Yarborough and his team. I mean, we've got the most incredible... And the thing about our crew is that everybody loves working on the show. You know, it's... I think it's a real family. And it's hard as hell. I defy any show to be as hard as this one is to pull off... But the one great thing, and this starts with Carl Schaefer, is that everyone is encouraged to do their best work. Not just do it the way I want you to do it, but, okay, if we can't do it that way, how do we, throw me an idea. Yeah. What else could we do? You know, and people rise to that, and it's really remarkable.
Well, and I also think we have a lot of passion, all of the departments, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, 100%.
Well, and you guys make it all come together.
Oh,
and it comes out absolutely fantastic.
I drove this set. I don't know the first time I saw that Murphy Mobile. I think we're at Medical Lake. And I was just like, what is this? Is awesome. I had to like walk around it and look all close.
Well, and things like, you know, the gate where they come under, you know, out of Murphytown, that was the gallows from last season.
Wow.
Oh.
That's Vince repurposing on our little low budget.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
That's
things.
Awesome.
And then you'll notice as it progresses, as Murphytown progresses, it builds up a little bit more each time. So,
yeah. And now the power's back on.
Yeah.
So,
now, pretty sweet,
this
right?
This little shanty town is potentially a huge force to be reckoned with.
I just love the lights came back on in Warren. It's like, we're going to need
some backup.
And we have parallelism between the lights coming on there and the lights coming on in Northern Lights.
Yeah.
It's true.
There's communication again. There's power again.
We're back on the grid.
We're back on it. So, do we have any final thoughts for this particular episode?
I enjoyed the hell out of this. I'm super ready for the next one.
I am very excited for the next one, too. I just love seeing what's coming up.
Everybody loves catching and skiing.
This will be a good one. The election. The election. It's very funny.
So some much predictions needed territory then.
Rapid fire predictions.
Yep.
But it's going to be some much needed comedy, I think, before the actual election.
Yeah. It is absolutely that. And it's good comedy for what's coming down the pike. Let me just say, there is some shit about to hit the fan in Z Nation.
Oh, cannot wait.
Yeah.
The only other thing I want to say really quick before we go is we want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you to everybody who's gone to iTunes. Rate, subscribe. We love hearing from you. Do we have any
new
iTunes?
Yet.
Well, be sure to leave an iTunes review because you will get a shout out on the show next week.
We're trick-or-treating for iTunes reviews. Come on.
Trick-or-treat. Well, again, cannot say thank you enough to all of our guests tonight. All around, starting with you, Corinne, where can people go if they want to keep up with you and your upcoming projects?
You can find me on Twitter, so Mrs. Makeup FX, MRS, MAKEUP FX.
You can find me on Facebook. I think it's just Josh Foster. Also, I encourage anybody who has any questions or wants to know some behind-the-scenes info to reach out to us. I think it'd be fun to answer some questions, and, you know, it'd be cool to be. I'm thankful for all the fans we have, so whatever we can do to kind of just appreciate
give them a glimpse behind the scenes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, Josh Foster, Synapse Effects, Facebook.
And I am at Jody Binstock, JodiBinstock.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, for all of you Twitter people, please tweet live with us every week. Somebody from the cast and the crew are tweeting every week. And we love to get your feedback. So please give us a shout out.
Awesome. And I'm Michelle Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at @Michelle_Cullen.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I'm on 8 billion shows. Crunch time is next. Stick around for that. And Ruby premieres this Thursday at 7 p.m.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Yeah, what she said. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween!
Thanks
for watching the show. We love you.
Thank you so much for watching, and thank you guys for coming in.
Yeah.
We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
From executive producers Maria Menounos...
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.